Good morning, God. God, I just want to take a second. Lord, I pray that you wake us up this morning like a fresh cup of coffee. God, I pray for Pastor Jeff. Lord, I pray that you fill him with a fresh anointing this morning. I pray that you give him boldness today to speak what you've been giving him, Father God, our values. I pray for your strength and your wisdom. I pray that you take him places maybe he didn't even expect this morning. I pray for freedom. Lord, I pray for all of us this morning. I pray that you open our hearts and our minds. I pray that you help us to shed the cares that we brought in this morning. I pray that your presence just fills this place and that you give us peace. Prepare our hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we have we've been going through our values here at Living Christ Church, and just to recap, our values at Living Christ Church speak to who we are, where we're going, and who we're becoming. We will act in light of these values. So moving forward, we won't engage in things that don't accompany these values or these values don't accompany. So we're going to stick to the things in these values that we believe God is asking us to focus on. And so they, once again, Jaime gave them to you. They're these four. We will love NIAC. We will listen to God. We will change through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we will invest in people. Last week, we talked about we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to do part two on we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit today. So just a breakdown of what we mean by that. This is what we mean. We believe that Jesus changes everyone through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We will choose in to this ongoing process, believing that every change that God initiates is good. So the change that he initiates in us is always good. He doesn't try to initiate bad things in us. He tries to initiate good things in us. And so when you come to Living Christ Church, oftentimes you come at different points in your faith journey. We believe you could show up here and you could have been a follower of Jesus for 40 years, or you could show up here and not yet be a follower of Jesus, and we understand that, and we want to foster an environment that's fun and safe for everybody to experience Jesus in that way. But we believe that God does not want you to stay at the point at which you visited us for the first time. Because when you interact with Jesus, he's going to change you, because that's what he does. He's a change maker. And so every change that he initiates in you, we believe is good. And we want to join God on the journey of allowing him to change us. And so that's what we've been focusing on. And so we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit is where we're at today. And just kind of to preface, last week, I had this in the bulletin, and there were some in the back, and it says, I will let the Holy Spirit change me. And I said, for some of us, that was a period. Yes, I'll let the Holy Spirit change me. I agree. I'm going to allow him to change me. For some of us, we're like, I really want the Holy Spirit to change me. And so you need to put a little exclamation point on that. And then for some, I want to let the Holy Spirit change me. I'm not really sure what that all entails, because if he changes me, is it going to hurt? Maybe. Maybe he's got to remove some stuff from our lives that is causing us some pain or some turmoil, and so it might hurt. So maybe there's a question mark at the end of this. I had a friend this week. I was walking down the streets of NIAC, and I was coming back to the office. I just like to walk around the town. I love the sound. I like to walk around the town. I'm walking back to the office, and somebody came out of the store, and they said, Pastor Jeff! They screamed out to me from like three stores away, I will let the Holy Spirit change me! And there was a little part of me that wanted to go, who is that guy? But I was like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I want the Holy Spirit to change. Exclamation point. I want him to change me. And they said, ah, that was a good word last week. I grabbed a bunch of those cards. I got one in my house, one in my office. I was passing them out like candy. Yes, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. But we believe that it's not a once and done. All right? That he just changes you and woo, everything is all hunky-dory. No, there is a beginning to this process, and then there's a process of allowing him to change us. It's an ongoing work that needs to take place. There's an ongoing work that needs to take place. When I first became a follower of Christ, I was just a little guy. And for most of my growing up years, I really looked at Christianity as something that you did, not something that you were. Christianity really became for me a chore. And if you've met an unhappy Christian before, and several of us have, chances are that's the case. Christianity has become a chore and not who they are. And God doesn't want it to be a chore. He wants it to be who we are, followers of Christ. And there's a change that takes place. That was my senior year of high school, and I really wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted to be the best follower of Christ the world had ever seen. And so I'd get up at the crack of dawn, and I'd pray for like an hour and a half. And then I'd go to school, and I'd try to have faith conversations with my friends at school. And then I'd come home, and I'd read like 15 15 like Christian self-help books. Yes, those exist. How to be 100% for God. I read these things. And then I would do my homework, I'd have dinner, my bedtime kept on getting earlier and earlier because my prayer list got longer and longer of all the people I needed to pray for. Because man, there's some messed up people in the world and they need prayer. And I was going to be the best prayer there was. And I'll tell you what, towards the end of my senior year, I was the most exhausted Christian the world had ever seen. Because it became a chore, not a choice. It became about what I did, not who I was. And it wasn't until somebody introduced me to the role and the work of the Holy Spirit that all that changed. And so this is why we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Because it is not just God the Father. It is not just God the Son. There is a third person in the Trinity of God who Jesus sent on our behalf to be our comforter, our transformer, and our changer. And he is and will always be the Holy Spirit. And without him, Christianity is a chore. And with him, he transforms us. So let's look at some scripture this morning. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've provided one in front of you. It's page 1096. Or if you have a phone with the Bible app, pull that out. 1096. Chapter 8. And we're going to read 1 to 17, and then we're going to talk about it. Still hear some pages turning, so I'll wait a little bit. Romans chapter 8, page 1096. On most of the Bibles in front of you, and this is what it says in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation not just to the sinful nature to live according to it, for if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. All right, there's a lot there. And honestly, we could spend a month just sifting through this, but I want to highlight a couple of things that I see in this passage for us that I think might be helpful for us to understand. We will let the Holy Spirit change us. And these are the three things that I want us to highlight. No condemnation, living in the Spirit, and that obligation and what that means to the Spirit. So first I want to look at this one. Give you a little context first, actually. Romans is a letter to the church in Rome at the time. The writer is Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He has been reminding the church in Rome all the things, all the reasons why Christ came. There's several chapters of why Christ came, culminating in 5 and 6. And then in chapter 7, he kind of gives us the rundown of what it's like, what I was describing before. Why do I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do? And when I end up doing the things that I don't desire to do, I'm confused because I'm doing all these things that I don't understand that I'm doing. That's kind of the rundown. It gets confusing. This is so hard when I try to do this in and of myself. And then we start chapter 8 with no condemnation. It's in chapter 7, it's all about me trying to be good. In chapter 8, he kind of resets everything for us in verse 1. In Romans 8, verse 1, therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And I think we need to break that down just a little bit. Sin, like when we sin, when we do things contrary to God, what accompanies them through the voice and the power and presence of the enemy of our souls is guilt and shame. It's guilt and shame. If you're feeling guilt and shame this morning, it's not God. That's not how God works. God's Spirit accompanies conviction with the love of the Father, and those are very different things. So when we say this, no condemnation, Paul means it. No condemnation. It's not less condemnation than we were feeling before. It's no condemnation. It's not an improvement from your current circumstance to now you're a little bit better. It's completely transformed from being condemned to no longer being condemned. All right, maybe you're struggling with this one, so I'm going to break it down in an illustration. A couple months back, after 19 years of marriage, I finally took my wife to the U.S. Open. That's tennis, not the golf one. Some of you like tennis, it's all right. Some of you don't, and you're like, please give us a different illustration. Don't worry, follow me, all right? Maybe you've had this, maybe you've been to a concert, maybe you've been to a sporting event, and you paid an arm and a leg for these seats. We paid an arm and a leg for these seats. We were three rows from the top of the stadium. And I was feeling really good about it because 3 days later, they were four times the amount that I paid for them. But that was our view, and we're smiling, we're happy, right? And then as the night wore on, because it went on forever. I love tennis. As the night went on, people began to leave because it was getting late. So you know what happened? We got a little bit closer. Ta-da! We got a little bit closer. And then some more people left, and they started waving us down. Hey, all you up there in the nosebleeds, come on down like the real people. And so we made it a little bit closer. And towards the end of the, before the end of the night, it was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning at this point. This is how close we were. We were close enough to make out that that was actually keys playing that night. I think sometimes when we hear that word, no condemnation, we feel as though God is moving us just a little bit closer to where he's at. Just a little bit closer. You're coming from the nosebleeds down to like the front row. And that pales in comparison to what Christ is really doing. No, you are not just slightly improved, you are transformed. You are no longer a spectator watching the event, you are on the court with the God of the universe. It is completely different scenario. You have gone from watching it on the television to not only being present, but literally being on the court, the field, the stage with the Father of your soul. There is no condemnation anymore. There is no guilt or shame anymore. It's the loving embrace of the God of the universe saying, I love you, I died for you, I want what's best for you. Join me actively in what the world is just watching. No condemnation. They are completely different things. And then we've got this amazing, meaty text with all these comparisons throughout. And so I want to look at those for a second. There's a contrast in the next 10 verses between the flesh and the spirit. These contrasting things. This is the flesh and this is the spirit. This is the mind controlled by sin. This is the mind controlled by the Spirit of God. And then lastly, in this little section, I want to look at what it looks like when we try to please God out of the flesh, but really the Holy Spirit wants to empower us out of a spirit. And so here's a couple of the contrasts that are listed there in those next 10 verses. The law of sin and death versus the law of the Spirit. So the law of sin and death is what we see around us. There is destruction, there is chaos, it is falling apart, it is craziness. Every time we turn on the news, there's something else happening. From the moment sin entered this world, the earth has been groaning in anticipation for the God who created it to transform it through his Son. And that is the law of sin and death. And when Christ came, he brought life back to restore us to the Father. Then you have the mind controlled by the flesh and the mind controlled by the Spirit. And the mind controlled by the flesh does what I want. And the mind controlled by the Spirit does what God wants. And so when this mind, the mind that is just about Jeff, is in play, not only do I hurt those around me, I hurt myself. And when I allow my mind to be transformed by the God of the universe, my soul is affected and changed, and so are the people around me, because I begin to see people the way Christ desires me to see them. And then there's a difference between being in the flesh and being in the Spirit. Being in the things that I want because they're mine and they're good and they're great. And then being in the Spirit, the things that God wants, that he wants us to see and engage in and transform in. Maybe let's break it down, maybe a little more specific for you today. These are some things that of the flesh kind of control us. Hate and despair and anxiety and impatience. Meanness and evil. Maybe one of those resonates with you this morning. Man, I'm feeling that one this morning. The Spirit of God wants to change the hate into love. That's what he desires to do. He desires to change despair into joy. He desires to change anxiety into peace and impatience into patience. And meanness into kindness, and evil into goodness. Unfaithfulness and anger and being uncontrollable, pompous and selfish. He wants to change unfaithful into faithfulness, and anger into gentleness, and uncontrollable into self-controlled, and pompous into humility. And selfish into selflessness. The things on the left will destroy you. The things on the right will transform you through his Spirit. I have two boys, and I learned all kinds of life lessons from these young men. When they were younger, I learned that passing gas is a superpower. Or so one of them told me. And there's other times when I'm having conversations with them and their insight is so tiny or off the cuff. And when I stop for a second, my understanding of when Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, takes root. We're on our way here to church this morning, and we're coming across the overpass over here off of 9W, right over across of the thruway. And Jordan looked out, and he goes, Dad, look, there's no cars, like one car every now and then. He goes, oh, what it would be like if it was like that every day. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, Jordan. And then the closer I got to church, I was like, what would it be like if it was like that every day? You know what your life is like controlled by the sinful nature? It's like being in constant rush hour traffic. There is a car of hate here, and there is a car of evil here, and there is a car of unkindness here, and there is a car of pompousness here, and there's a car of selfishness here. I can't make those cars go anywhere. I can't. I can scream and yell at them. I do it a lot. Get out of my way. What the heck is wrong with you? Please move. Jesus loves you. I can try with all my might to get them to move and they will not move. Why? Because I have no control over them. But guess who does? The author of your life. And the author of your life wants to pick up those cars and move them out of the way. I wish it was literal, but it's not. But in life, he wants to remove them so that your life gets easier. And the only way that happens is through his Spirit. Try as we will to focus on all the things that we want to remove from our lives. Try as we will, guess what we will do? We will focus on them all the more. It's not until we stop and go, God, help me, that when he begins to remove those things from our lives so that our life gets smoother. And this is a lifelong process and journey that he wants to take us on. It's not just so we can have a home with him in glory in heaven. It's to transform you now more into the image of him. Man, that's a good word. And this last, this impossibleness to please God. There's literally nothing. I can memorize all the Bible verses in the world. I can come to every service that this church has to offer. And none of that will mean anything if I don't allow the God of the universe to change me. They will just be a bunch of really good things. They're good, they'll be really good things. But that's not what pleases God. What pleases God, what changes you, is Jesus through the work of his Spirit. That's it. Verse 11 says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. It's a power and work of the Spirit of God, not of you. That's it. It's his power and his strength. If you're tired this morning of trying to be a good Christian, you're probably trying to do it all by yourself. When we say, I will let the Holy Spirit change me, it's not just a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. Will we let the Holy Spirit change us? This last little section, obligation of the Spirit. It says, not to the flesh, not as slaves who live in fear, but to the Holy Spirit who gives life. To the Holy Spirit who makes you an heir who is a son and daughter of God, co-heir with Christ, seated with God in the heavenlies, all these images there. Our obligation is not hard. Our obligation is really easy. God offers, we respond. End of story. Do you want to come down on the court of life or do you want to stay in the bleachers and observe? Do you want to continue focusing on all the stuff that's in your life, or do you want to let God remove that stuff so that we can get to the good stuff, which is the stuff that God offers? Will your life be forever better? Yes. Will there be hurt and pain? Yeah, the end of the chapter says we join him in our suffering, in his suffering. There's going to be suffering. But do you want suffering by yourself or suffering with the God who created you? I'll take the God who created me. I shared this verse last week. I know it's really hard to see, and I maybe need to find a better place in my car to put this. But I've shared illustrations of how I struggle in the vehicle, so we're taking proactive steps to let the God of the universe change me. Because if I just keep on focusing on how angry I am when I get in the vehicle, instead of focusing on God, nothing's going to change. And so I posted this verse, Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. That car and that car and that car. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So this is what happened this week. So this is my primary car. And then my wife's vehicle is the Pilot. And whenever we're together with the family, then I drive that one. And we were driving in that one over the weekend. And I forgot all about this verse because it wasn't in front of me. And then one of my sons goes, man, I think we need that verse in this car too. You know what he observed? Dad, you're not perfect. But God can change that. Do you want to let the God of the universe change you? Not just a little bit, but all of you. Not just today, but forever. Last week, we said, I will allow the Holy Spirit to change me. This week, I want to ask that question again, but go a little bit further. I will choose in to the ongoing process of letting the Holy Spirit change me. Now, what is that change that the Spirit is inviting me into during this season? I've now been vulnerable to you. Mine, apparently, at this moment in time, is patience. I've got none of it whenever I get behind a car. God does not desire me to be that way. I am not teaching my kids anything good. I'm teaching them about the flesh and my selfish needs to get where I want to go quicker than everybody else. You know what reality is when I get in that car and that person cuts me off? I have no idea what's happening in their life. They could be on the hospital to see their relative who is dying. They could be late to pick up their kids who are waiting for them, wondering where mom and dad are. And the list goes on and on. God wants to change all the stuff of Jeff and turn it into all the stuff of God. And man, I want to let him. Do you want to let him this morning? What is the thing today? What is it that God is saying, I want that, give me that one. Let me remove that from your life so that you can experience some more of me. Let me take that. You're not going to get it. This one, you're not going to get this one by yourself. You're not. Let me help you with it. I want us to take some time and just speak quiet together. Maybe you need to close your eyes. Maybe you need to look up. Maybe you need to think. Maybe you need to ask, God, what is it? What's that one that I just, today, man, I need to give you that one. Maybe it's your life. Maybe you've never given him your life, and you need to give him your life today. Or maybe it's impatience or unkindness or selfishness. I don't know what it is. I'm not you, but you know who you are. Ask God what he wants to take from your life. Lord Jesus, as we are sitting here, I ask that you would remove all the blocks from our minds, all the distractions of the day, and allow us to get to the good stuff of what you want to remove from our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you permission. And we thank you that you desire to change us for our good. In Jesus we pray, amen. Maybe you need to write that one down. Maybe you need to pull out your phone and put it in your phone. Maybe you need to print it off and stick it in your car and say, God, take this from me, and you look at it each and every single day. I don't know what you need to do to allow God to continue to do what you asked this morning. But let's be proactive about this one.